All right. I'm going to have to buy some. Oh, some of y'all got memorized, though, don't you? Matthew chapter 2. Hope you got your Bible today. Now, this is the Christmas season. This is the season we celebrate his birth. And that's a rare thing nowadays for people to even do that. They're celebrating something, but it ain't him. Amen. Matthew chapter 2. All right. We still got kids going to the nursery. Look at those pretty children. My grandchildren. Matthew chapter 2. All right. Let's start, if you will. Let's start with verse 1. We're going to read the first 12 verses. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" That's what they quoted. "Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently, saying, 'What time the star appeared?' And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy." Boy, I like that. Exceeding great joy. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their presents, treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Amen. I want you to notice this story. In this story, men from another country, and the Bible calls them wise men. That's an interpretation of the word magi, which means wise men. They had to come from another country to tell the people in Israel that Jesus was born. The very nation that he was prophesied to be born in, and the very town that it was prophesied he was going to be born, men from some other country had to come and tell the king, who was over that country, who was supposed to be a Jew himself, had to come tell him that Jesus, the Savior, was born. And it troubled him. If you read the text, it said it also troubled everybody in the city because they were not looking for his coming. Most of them were even ignorant of when he would be born or where. Israel, the apple of God's eye, God's chosen people, the ones he chose to write the Old Testament, live the Old Testament, do the sacrifices, do the ceremonies, celebrate the holy days. Those very people had gotten so far away from God and away from his word that it caught them by surprise that he was even born. Well, it kind of sounds like the day we're in, doesn't it? The Bible doesn't say they're kings. We sing "We Three Kings," which is, that's fine, but it doesn't say they were kings. It doesn't say how many. It just said, go back and read it. It just said these wise men came and they brought gifts, and they did bring those three gifts. And because they brought three gifts, people assumed there were three of them. May be true, may not. Doesn't make a whole lot of difference. Gold was associated with kingly treasures. The only people that had a lot of gold were the kings. The frankincense was offered with the prayers in the temple. They would put it in that little container. They put hot coals in it, and they put frankincense in it, and the priest would wave it back and forth, and it gave off a sweet smell, and that would go up, and that represented how God looked at the prayers of His people. It was a sweet-smelling thing to Him. And then that myrrh was something, that was a perfume. But it was specifically used to put on a dead body. They would cover that dead body with myrrh, and they would wrap it in cloth. That way they could keep the body out for 3 days and have a funeral, because they had no embalming, they had no preservation of things like that, and they used the myrrh to do that. So these things had significance because it represented that they were coming to see a king. They were coming to see the King of Kings, and they realized that, these men did. And also that frankincense represented that God had answered the prayers of His people to send a Savior. And then, of course, the myrrh, that was a prophecy of His death, that He was going to die for them and us so we could be saved. But the people that they came to didn't even know these things. And they were God's people. And they were God's chosen nation. And they were the elect of God. And they had the temple of God. And they had the sacrifices God had described and prescribed. And they had the ceremonies that represented everything God wanted to represent. And they had the high priest. And they had the priesthood. And they had everything that you would think that they would need to be worshiping the one and only true God and be prepared for the birth of His Son to die in our place so we could be saved. But they didn't even know what was happening. I think we could say that about Christmas today, couldn't we? We've got the right book. We've got the right message. We've got the right ceremony. We've got the right Savior. And yet, there's a lot of folks, even today, who do not recognize that He came the first time, much less the next time. And if you don't recognize His birth, how are you going to recognize His holy life, the life you can't live that He lived in your place? And how are you going to recognize His death in your place so your sins could be paid for? And how are you going to recognize His resurrection from the dead to prove that God had accepted the sacrifice? And how are you going to recognize His second coming if you don't even recognize the first coming? We're right back in this story, right back to the beginning now. I think that's where we are. They were Jewish wise men. They'd studied the scriptures. They were descendants of the Jews who had been carried into captivity in Babylon. If you go back to Isaiah and the Old Testament prophets, you know, and as you study them, these were men that were taken, foreign nations, the Babylonians came into Israel, and everybody that wasn't sick or old, they took them and made slaves out of them in Babylon. Remember Daniel? Remember Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? They were called wise men, see. They studied the scriptures. And so these men had all their lives, and they were generations away from the originals, Daniel and them. They were generations of probably, 400 years, 300 years. But it proves there were still some people that believed the book, and they were looking for the Savior to come. And these men had the ability to travel that other people wouldn't have, so they must have had a little substance. And they were wise men. They were leaders in, I believe, Babylon. But they were Jews. We go to Christmas play, you got a red man, a yellow man, a black man, or a white man, and a yellow man, black man, or whatever. They're trying to represent all the races. But listen, they were Jews. These men were Jews, and they'd studied the scriptures, and they knew the signs. And when they saw it, they began to follow that star. It really took them about 2 years to get there. Because when they got there, they found, it says, the young child and his mother in a house. And if you go and read the rest of the story, you'll see that they were supposed to come and tell Herod when they found the king, but the Lord warned them, as we read, and they left a different way. They didn't tell Herod, and since they didn't tell him, he got mad. And the rest of the passage, he tells his soldiers, he said, you go out there and kill every baby. You kill every baby in that town from 0 up to 2 years old. Kill them. And they killed every baby. From a newborn to 2 years old. Because he said, they've been traveling for 2 years. So somewhere between 0 and 2, that baby was born. Let's just kill them all and we'll get him. But if you go on to read the story, that God had warned Joseph and they fled into Egypt. So Jesus, the baby wasn't killed like the rest of the babies. They traveled thousands of miles. And by the way, they didn't have a Kia or a Honda or a Ford, thank God, or a Chevrolet. Jeffrey, Chevrolet, GM. They had a camel. And not one you smoke. They had one that they rode on, but you know, half the time you had to walk on them boogers. They wouldn't ride you. But anyway, they traveled thousands of miles. Took them a long time to get there. And yet, listen, they believed God enough and God's word enough that they would leave everything and head out that way. And they were not going to give up until they found him. And the Bible says right here, they came seeking the Lord. They came seeking the Lord. Today, we're celebrating his birth today, tonight, tomorrow. You know what? We ought to seek him. We ought to seek his salvation. We ought to seek his redemption. We ought to seek his forgiveness. We ought to seek his power and his presence in our everyday life. We ought to seek him. Amen. And you ought not just do it one time a year. You ought to get up every morning and seek him. Amen. In all your trials, seek him. In all your good times, seek him. In all your bad times, seek him. Amen. He's in every bit of it. If you'll just look for him, you'll find him, and he won't be under a Christmas tree. He wants to be in your life and in your heart and in your mind. And they went a long way, and they worked hard to get there. And we can't hardly get people to go to church once a week. So today I want to talk to you about those who seek the Lord. Those who seek the Lord. Jeremiah 29:13, if you want to turn there. Jeremiah 29:13 says this. Now, I got to go fast today, so y'all might just want to write these down and look them up later. Jeremiah 29:13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You know what? Every believer in here, there came a day to where we saw there wasn't nothing else that would help us. There wasn't nobody else that could do anything. Amen. And we turned and started seeking him. Amen? But don't be too proud of that, because he put that in your heart in the first place. Because by nature, we don't seek him. By nature, we avoid him. And God put it in your heart one day and said, hey, boy, you need to get up and go to church today. Amen. Or God put it in your heart one day and said, hey, gal, you need to talk to that friend that's a Christian. Let her tell you some things. Or you need to listen to your mom and daddy. You need to listen to old grandpa and grandma. And then God begin to draw you. And once he put that drawing in you, then you begin to seek satisfaction. And you couldn't find it nowhere. I mean, you just couldn't find it until one day you fell down on your knees. You said, Lord, I ain't got nowhere else to go. And I'm just looking to you, Lord. Save me. And he saved you that day because you sought him. Amen. 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 That's why the devil tries to distract us. And look, I'm not a Grinch, and my favorite TV program is It's a Wonderful Life, and my next favorite one is It's a Grinch That Stole Christmas. But my hero is the dog, the little puppy dog that pulls the sled. But I got news for you. You're not going to find the baby Jesus under a Christmas tree. You're going to find him sitting on the right hand of a holy God. And he's holy and he's pure and he's perfect. And he don't have a red suit. He's got a white shirt. Amen. He's holy and pure and perfect. And then, listen, Amos 5:5 says, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me and ye shall live. I could start naming you people I've grew up with and known that didn't know God. And nobody told us what Christmas was really about. I told them in Sunday school, the closest thing to religion I ever had was in the elementary school. I was the tallest boy in the class, and we had a Christmas play. So somebody threw a bathrobe and wrapped a towel around my head and threw the bathrobe on me and gave me a stick and said, you're Joseph, Mary's husband, the father of Jesus. And I stood beside this little baby doll and looked down at it while some people sang Christmas songs, and I had no idea what I was doing. But one day, thank God, he put it in me to start seeking the truth. And boy, I had to have the truth. And I sought it. And I looked in the wrong places first. We always do. But then finally, the little old girl that ain't even alive no more, she's up in heaven, Terry's best friend, Patty, she came up side, over to our house one day and said, I want to invite you to church. I said, we don't do church. She said, well, I got saved. I didn't even know what that meant. I never heard that. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't want to have nothing to do with all that stuff. All of them's a bunch of hypocrites. It don't work. It ain't real. I ain't going. And after she aggravated us enough, finally I went to church. First time I heard that God gave his son to die in my place, I didn't have to die and go to hell. If I just turned to him, he'd do the saving. All I had to do was ask him. And I began to seek him. I'd buy books about UFOs at the grocery store and read them. That's what they taught us anyway, that somebody left us here. Well, they just got the wrong people. The one that left us here didn't come in a spaceship. His name was God. Amen? And they began, he said, you seek me, you'll find me. And listen, these men went a long way seeking him. Psalm 105 verse 3 says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. You know what? When you seek him and you find him, you know what happens? You get the joy of the Lord in your heart. Now the devil don't like that. And then after you, somebody told me the other day, after they got saved, they went to work. And you go to work and people say, boy, what's happened to you? You're different. You ain't mad at the boss man all the time now. You ain't cussing out the foreman no more. You show up on time. You act like you appreciate things. We don't hear dirty jokes anymore. What's happened to you, boy? I said, I don't know. I can't explain it. I just went down there to that church and this old fat preacher got up and he had fingers big about that big around. Every time he preached, he'd be pointing right at me. And I knew God was talking to me and I just couldn't take it no long. After three or four times under that, took about 3 years, but after three or four times under that, I just got up and asked him to save me. And he did, and this is what happened. I don't know how to explain it. I don't have a Bible verse. I don't know any Bible. I don't even know him. All I know is I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. And it's because you seek him, not seek you. Most of Christmas is about you. What'd you get me for Christmas? Nothing. That's what we ought to do. What would it be, right? 1 year, if we just didn't buy any presents, everybody came over to the house and they said, what are we getting for Christmas? Jesus. Well, there ain't no presents under the tree. Well, we fix put us under the tree and see if we can't find him. Amen? Those that seek him, they'll find him. And look, he'll give you joy. I was full of hate. I was full of meanness. My wife told somebody one day, one of my friends, he said, Ronnie ain't got no friends. And my wife said, the sad thing is, he don't want any. I didn't care. You know, it was just about me. I was seeking me. I was seeking what I wanted, what I could get, how I could be fulfilled. But that day at Eastside Baptist Church, that day, the Holy Ghost of God come and grabbed me by the heart and wouldn't let me go. And I'm over there saying, I don't know what to do. This is killing me. And I went down that aisle and I said, preacher, I need to get saved. He hugged my neck and said, he desires to save you. And I asked him to save me. And all of a sudden, satisfaction came. And I didn't need all this stuff anymore. I didn't need to impress people anymore. I didn't need things of the world anymore. All of a sudden, I was completely satisfied. Completely. Now, every once in a while since then, I let the old flesh rise up, and it ain't satisfied. This thing here will never be satisfied. It ain't even saved yet. It's what's in here that's saved. And guess what? One day he's going to give me a new body. It'll be saved too. But until then, every once in a while, that old flesh will rise up and say, well, they ain't treating you like they ought to. The flesh say, let's get them. Every once in a while, the flesh will raise up and say, well, they gave him shoes for Christmas. All you got was underwear. The old flesh will rise up. And every once in a while, people just don't recognize me like they ought to. That's the flesh. That ain't God. When you put that stuff down, you say, it's not about me. It's about him and what he does. It ain't about me. And by the way, when you seek him, you'll get the joy of the Lord. and the whole world around you can be falling apart, but somewhere right down in the middle of, way down in there somewhere, like that old preacher said, the old black bishop said, when the New York Times put on the headlines in the 1970s, it said, God is dead. And he said, if God is dead, who's just living way down in my soul? Amen. When you seek him, you'll rejoice. And it's Proverbs 28:5 says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. People will say, after you seek him and you ask him to save you, it comes in your heart and your mind. People say, how do you know this stuff? You say, I look for him. He shows me. Before you were saved, you could open the Bible. We used to have a Bible when I was growing up. Nobody read it. They had little pieces of hair in it, you know, lots of baby hair. And they had little pressed flowers. And they had death announcements and birth announcements in that Bible. Had a coffee table. Y'all remember coffee tables? Y'all don't have them anymore, I doubt we don't. Had that big old family Bible opened up to a picture of what they think Jesus looked like, you know. But nobody ever read it. Nobody ever read that thing. We didn't have a clue. We didn't even understand it. And I remember as a kid, sometimes I'd open it and try to read it. And then later on, as a teenager, I'd try to read it. And I said, these people's on drugs, man. There's some crazy people in this book. They're on drugs. Isaiah and those prophets, you know. But then after I received him, now I understand it. Now I understand it. Look, if you'll... here's what people say. Well, I would be a Christian, but I don't understand all that stuff. Well, that's kind of like saying I would be a doctor, but I don't understand that stuff. Well, you need to meet the people to introduce you to being a doctor, and they'll teach you. And you need to meet the people that know Jesus, and they'll introduce you to him. Amen? You will understand it. All of a sudden, man, when you get saved, the light comes on and the preacher will be preaching, you'll say, man, I didn't know that was in the Bible, but that's good. I see what he's talking about. And other people be sitting there scratching their head. I ain't got a clue what that man said. Because once you seek him and then you find him, he says, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I shall come in to him. Now, he lives in me. He's my teacher. So when I read it, my teacher's there, and he teaches me. Those that seek him, listen, Psalm 9:10 says, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Did you know he'll never leave you nor forsake you? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm so happy about that. The day I got saved, I got regenerated. I got a new mind, new spirit, new heart.
Thank you, Father.
I became a new creature. I did. I became a new creature. My whole life changed.
Amen.
I mean, immediately. I didn't have to go to a class. Me and Thomas was talking yesterday. By the way, he's no longer the doubting Thomas. He's the believing Thomas. And me and Thomas was talking yesterday. And he said, you know, I used to go to that 12-step program and all that stuff. He said, but then I started telling them what you say. I only had to take one step. I turned to him and received him, and I was saved. Don't need 12 steps. By the way, he said, every week they sit around and tell how pitiful they are and how sorry they are and how they're still trying to get over it and they're trying to work through it and they're recovering. I got news for you. If you ever get born again, you will be recovered. And I'm not just talking about alcohol, and I know people have problems with alcohol. There are addictions that bother people. I understand that. Some of us, it was less hard than others. But I can tell you this. If you'll take one step toward him, he'll come to you. He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. All you got to do is take that first step. He just wants you to know. He wants to know if you're willing enough to turn from. And that's what repentance is. A change of mind. You turn from everything you want and you turn to him. You say, Lord, I give it to you. I don't know if I can quit. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do that. But I know this. I don't want to go to hell. And you say, if I'd come to you, you'd save me. And then after that, it's all up to you.
Amen.
He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, I know most of us in here have been saved for a while. Some of you have never been saved. And those who have been saved for a while, you realize we're still in this old flesh.
and we fall. But if you're a real believer, you also realize we always get right back up.
Amen.
We always get right back up. By the way, I think that's the proof in the pudding. You say you're a believer. Well, I used to be a believer, but you know, I went back on the bottle and I just can't get off. I think the real thing is, maybe you did go back, but then you couldn't stay that way because God was in you and He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We fall, but we get back up. But you know why, though? That's not our strength. That's not us that does that. That's Him. He picks us back up. I knew I couldn't be a good Christian the day I got saved. I told Him I couldn't. I said, Lord, I can't live it, Lord. I can't do it. I know I can't do it, Lord. I'm so sorry. I just can't live it. And that was my excuse for 3 years every time people witnessed to me. I said, I can't live it. And then finally that old preacher said, you're right, you can't. That's why He lived it for you. He lived that sinless life that you cannot live. If you could live it, you wouldn't need a Savior. He lived a sinless life, and the wages of sin is death, and He died in your place because He knew you couldn't live it. You say, well, preacher, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to seek the Lord, but I'm not going to get saved. What I'm going to do is I'm going to change my life, and I'm never going to sin again. I'm just going to quit drinking liquor, and I'm going to quit cussing out my wife and misusing my boss man, my job, and everything. I'm just going to quit that, and I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to join church. I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to quit all this stuff, and then I'm going to go to heaven. That's a lie straight out of hell itself. Even if you could do that, by the way, you can't. You cannot quit sinning. In your flesh, you're going to find it even more difficult than if you got saved. Now, if you got saved, there's a lot of things He'll quit for you.
Thank you, Lord.
But you still got troubles you got to struggle with, okay? But even if you could quit sinning today, let me ask you something. Who's going to pay for what you've already done? Well, preacher, I'm not that bad a guy. I ain't never killed nobody. You can't even keep the first commandment. I can't. To love the Lord thy God with all our heart and our mind, our strength. We can't even do that. I love me sometimes and forget about Him. I love my wife and kids sometimes more than Him. Come on, help me, Christian. Sometimes I fall in love with the things of this world and get deceived by them. You don't even have to go through the next ones. Maybe you hadn't ever killed anybody, but have you ever kept the first one? You say, well, I ain't never lied. You just did. Everybody's lied. Your baby lied. You learned how to lie when you was a baby. Well, nothing wrong with you. You just want somebody to look at you and pet you and pick you up. That's a lie right there. Of course, God don't hold them accountable until they understand that. But I'm telling you, those that seek Him, He'll never fail them. I'm not telling you you'll never fail Him. I'm telling you He'll never fail you. That's why He's called Savior. And those that seek Him, He'll never leave them. He'll never leave them. Thank God. Boy, there's been times in my Christian life when I'd have been God, I'd have just cast me off. Let's be honest. People look at us and say, hypocrites. I don't look at people that's saved like that. I look at them and say, poor fallen Christian. And by the way, the Bible teaches us we're to lift them up.
Yes.
You know, the Baptist church is the only place in the world that shoots their own wounded. Yeah. If somebody here got locked up this weekend, and look at this crowd, some of you may. Yeah. Fella told me one day, he said, you wouldn't want me to come to your church. You don't know how what I've done. I said, you don't want to know what the people at my church is doing. You wouldn't come. But we shoot our wounded. Now I know this would never happen. I'll just pick out one new one. I don't ever pick on. Where's he at? Edenhofer. Oh, he's in children's church. I can say it about him. He's in children's church. Old Dan. if we got a call that he's been put in jail, you know. Here's the way Baptists do. Did you hear about Dan? Yeah, I knew it. I knew it all the time. He's from California. Did you know he's from California? The people's crazy. I knew it. We need to vote him out of church next week. That's the way Baptists do. Amen? But that ain't the way Jesus does. The old devil goes up there. You heard about, God says, you heard about Job. By the way, Job was self-righteous, was his sin. Go read chapter 42. You'll see where he repents of self-righteousness. But the Lord says, now use the devil to whip Job. And the old devil said, yeah, you got a hedge around him. I can't get to him. And God says, all right, I'm going to take the hedge down. You can have everything he's got, but you can't have his flesh. And in one day, he lost his children. He lost his grandchildren. He lost his wealth. He lost everything he owned on planet Earth. And his friends came to him and said, Job, what in the world's going on? There must be something wrong with you. He said, naked I came in, naked I'll go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to trust him anyway. And what was happening was God, he got backslid and God was letting the devil whip him. And then he comes up after Job refuses to deny God. And he comes back and the old devil comes up to the throne of God. And he says, hey, devil, where you been? He said, I've been to and fro in the earth. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He says, yeah, I've considered him. If you take that hedge around where I can get to his flesh, he'll cuss you to your face. This is South Carolina interpretation, translation. He said, all right, you can have his flesh, but you can't kill him. And the devil went down there and throwed it on Job. He got sores all over him. He got sick. He got sick unto death. Sat on an ash heap, put ashes on his running sores and scraped them with broken pottery to keep the maggots off of them. And they said, why don't you just cuss God and die? That's what his wife's saying. He said, you sound like a foolish woman. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now you listen to me. Job realized all he was going through, God was still there somewhere. And God was going to turn it around somehow. And he didn't know how, but he knew God was in control and that God loved him and God was not going to forsake him and leave him. And we as believers on the birth of Jesus Christ time of the year will look there and say, God sent his son, holy, pure, undefiled, into a wicked, low-down, nasty, filthy, sinful world to live a pure, perfect, holy life that I can't even make one day in. I can't even live it one day. And he let him die in my place and rise from the dead. And I don't think he would do all that just to pick me up one day and throw me off the next day. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 says God chastens his children. You know God loves you enough to whip you. Yeah. He said your earthly fathers, they loved you and they chastened you because they loved you. Because an earthly father knows you can't just let a child go. A child doesn't have enough sense. Somebody's got to tell them what to do. Somebody's got to discipline them and say, no, you don't eat that, boy. You'll die. And if you do eat it, I may whip you to death anyway. Listen, somebody's got to discipline. Now, so God looks down at us and he says, oh, Holroyd. Lives over there in the corner of the universe nobody ever been to on a dead-end road. Don't nobody know. The devil don't even know where he's at down there.
Thank God.
The Lord says, I can't even pronounce it the way them people do down there. Chester, South Carolina. McConnell's, whoever heard of McConnell's. And he looks down there and he says, but you know what? He's mine. And you know, he'd been in all kind of stuff, but I ain't letting him go. There's a little church over on Cornerstone Baptist Church over on John Street needs a good song leader, a good choir director. And his daddy honored me, and his grandpa honored me, and I'm not letting him go. I'm not letting him go. Ain't that how it went, brother?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And the devil said, just let me kill him. He said, you can have him, but you can't kill him. The devil put him through all kind of stuff. He got out of church because church went bad, and get some more to stay away from preachers because they were all bad that he met. And then he gets on the internet and he accidentally finds Cornerstone Baptist Church.
Amen.
And it brought him down here. If it had been me, I'd have buried him on the end of that road. You remember that song? Not fit to live, not fit to kill. We're all like that. But we just seek the Lord. And once you find him, he said, now I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go. Besides that, I promised your grandpa and your daddy I wasn't letting you go. I'm not letting you go. You're not going to hell. And I'm not going to let you go. And you go ahead and you fuss and you scream and you holler and you try to do whatever you want to. But I will not forsake you and I will not leave you and I won't let you go. And thank God those that seek him, he'll never leave them.
Amen.
There's nobody in this room deserves to go to heaven. Not one. Not only for our past, but for our present and our future too. Now, we're not what we used to be. Thank God. Hallelujah. Some of you ought to be jumping pews on it. Thank God I ain't what I used to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not what I used to be. Boy, go down there at Lancaster, talk to that crowd. They thought it wouldn't last a year. Their prophecy was he'll be back down here in a year with the rest of us. They're all dead and I'm still here. Thank God I ain't what I used to be. But you know what? I'm not always what I ought to be. But hallelujah, I'm not yet what I'm going to be. Hallelujah. That's all him. Because March the 5th, 1978, I woke up. And I told my wife, I said, get the kids ready. We're going to church. And that probably gave her a heart attack right there. And there was something in my heart that day. I wanted to seek God that day. God put that in my heart. I wanted him. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I knew what this world was like. And I knew the death and destruction that sin caused. I'd seen it cause them. But that day I woke up and I said, I'm going to church. They didn't know that secretly every Sunday morning after working third shift, I'd come home and drink beer and watch the chaplain on Bourbon Street on the television. He'd preach. They didn't know. I was listening to that old Southern Baptist preacher on there, Dr. E.J. Daniels. They didn't know I was doing that every morning. I had that TV down so low, and I'd sit up there real close and listen to it because God was drawing me. He was drawing me. And that day we got down there, and I couldn't help myself. And this is true. Y'all won't believe it. I said, Lord, if you help me move this foot, I'll go down there. And I found myself moving that foot. And I took off down that aisle, and that day, before I ever got to the front, I was saved.
Amen.
Because I was seeking him. Man took me in the prayer room, took me through some scriptures. Admit you're a sinner, believe on Christ, confess it with your mouth. I did, but you know what? I look back on it. As I was walking down that aisle, I was weeping and crying, and the burdens was being lifted, and all that hate and that stuff was going away. And by the time I got in the prayer room, I was already saved. I just didn't know it. I needed some scripture to affirm what had been happening to me that whole service. Man, we walked down there. The sky was bluer. Those little puffy clouds was even... I never thought the trees was greener. I could have been a tree hugger, man. I loved everybody. I probably ought not confess this, but I used to smoke and I lit up an L&M cigarette and it tasted better than it had ever tasted before. It's the truth. I was a new creature, man. Hey, Ron Roddy died that day and was born again. Why? Because he turned over a new leaf? No, sir. I took him everything I had. I didn't turn over nothing. I just gave it to him. Why? Because I went to the anonymous class? No. I wasn't being anonymous that day. I was admitting who I was. Why? Because I joined church? No, I didn't even know how to join church. Because I got baptized? No, that didn't even happen for a month. I stumbled into church one Sunday night and he asked me, was I getting baptized? I said, yeah, if the Bible says so, let's do it.
but because I seek Him. Now, since then, you know what? There have been times I have fallen, and if you could fail God, I've failed Him. But I want you to stop and think about this. As a child of God, you really can't fail God. He knew before you was ever born what you're going to do tomorrow. And He knew what you're going to do next year. And He knew what you was going to do every day and every night. So whenever you fall, you say, I done failed God. And God says, no, if you'll ask me, I'm going to forgive you, because I knew you was going to do that before you ever knew that. I knew it before the foundation of the world. But I loved you anyway, and I saved you anyway. And I'm not letting you go because of that, because that's all in the plan right there. Jesus paid for it on the cross. Seek Him. Those who seek Him. I'll tell you this, you'll be rewarded if you seek Him. You'll be rewarded. Now, listen to me, and I'm about finished. And it ought not bother people to stay a little extra on Christmas, okay? But Christmas, if to the believer, okay, that is seeking the Lord. That's every Sunday to us. Easter's every Sunday to us. The Lord's Day, we seek Him. I get up in the morning. Every day, me and my wife read Scripture and pray together. We seek Him. We seek Him. Every night when I lay down my head on my pillow, I seek Him. I seek Him. I seek Him when I walk to the paper box. I walk out to the paper box and I say, Lord, thank you, I can still see. Lord, thank you, I can still hear those birds out there. Lord, thank you, I can still walk. I can still talk. Lord, thank you, I'm still in my right mind, though it would be debatable with some people. But most of all, Lord, thank you for saving me and keeping me unworthy as I am. And He's going to reward me. Now, He already has some. He gave me a new life. He changed my home. He even changed my mama's house because I got saved. He even changed where I work. One job I had, my manager told me he was doing a yearly review. You know, he said, Ron, I don't know what happened, but something's happened here. I said, what do you mean? He said, ever since you got here, the vocabulary has changed in this place. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, they used to cuss each other and everything else. And now that you're in here, all I ever hear is, amen, brother. Praise God, brother. That's right, brother. Amen, brother. Glory to God, brother. But He's already rewarded me, but there's a greater reward than that. I get a new body. I get a new body. This was getting kind of bad. I get a new body, one that won't have sinus infection and cancers and all this stuff. And I get a new home. Amen. One day, the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, those that we've had to put down in that old cold hard ground. But look, I'm going to get rewarded, I get to see them again. And then they're going to rise first, and then we, which our life remains, we will be caught up together with them in the air. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This old corruptible is going to put in only incorruption. And this mortal is going to put on immortality. And then the saying is, death is swallowed up in victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And we're going to be changed. We're going to meet them. And forever and ever and ever, we're going to be with the one that saved us and kept us and blessed us, even when we were undeserving. I don't put Santa Claus too much in my Christmas. He just takes the place of the real reason for the season. I don't. We never have. We told my kids it's just a fairy tale, you know. We have fun with it. We have more, we have little fat men on our Christmas tree, you know. We got a Christmas tree. My grandkids, they laugh at me. They'll say, Papa, sing Jingle Bells. And I'll say, Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells. Frosty the Snowman. And that day, Papa, that ain't where it goes. We'll have a good time. But I'm going to tell you this. If I was you this year, and it may be the last Christmas we ever have, and even if it's not, it may be your last Christmas. I say it every year. There's people here today won't be here next year. And it ain't always the old and sick either. This may be your last Christmas. It may be the last Christmas on planet Earth for some of us. So you know what I'd do this year? I'd have a Christmas tree and I'd exchange Christmas presents and I'd eat that big old ham and all that stuff, have a big Christmas meal. But you know what I would do if I didn't know the Lord? I'd seek Him. I'd seek Him. And He said, if you'd seek Him, you'll find Him. He's right there waiting on you right now. The problem is you ain't looking for Him. None of us deserve to even celebrate Christmas. I'm glad I don't get what I deserve. Amen.
Amen.
And He wants to give you eternal life. Here's the way it is. Nobody brought me a present, so I can't do it with a present. Anyway, here's your present. And it's Christmas, Brother Ron. And I come up here and I say, Brother Ron, I got this pretty wrapped, beautiful keys to a new car right here. You wouldn't believe it, I know, but I'm just talking. I got the keys. There's your Christmas present. What would you do? You'd receive it, wouldn't you? John, would you try to pay me for it? No, it's a gift. Would you try to work to be good enough to get it? No, it's a gift. John 1:11 says He came unto His own. That's what we read in the Christmas story. He came to the Jews. He came to Israel. He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. Herod wanted to kill Him. But the wise men left satisfied and joyous and happy because verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's how simple it is. He's got you a present. All you have to do is reach out and take it. That's seeking the Lord. Now, I'm going to warn you, though, once you take it, your life's never going to be the same.
Amen.
It ain't a bad warning. That's a good warning. Amen.
Amen.
You'll never be the same. And listen, it will affect everybody around you. Some people will get saved because you got saved. Some people will be blessed because you were blessed. But not until you seek Him and receive it. Let's stand, Father.